Amen? Amen. Amen. God's good, isn't He? Amen. All right. Let's get into the Word for a few minutes here. We've got a few minutes to just glean some things, and let's just pray, and let's ask God to help us, all right? Heavenly Father, we give You glory and honor. And Father God, we just submit ourselves to You. We thank You for Your Holy Spirit. We thank You for Your precious Word. And Father God, we do believe that the Word of God is God-breathed. We do believe that what it says about us is so. We are what it says we are. We have what it says we have. And Father, we can do whatever that Word says we can do, Father God. Father, I pray that as we share the Word of God today, that not only will You impart understanding and knowledge, but we will impart a renewed love for the Word of God. I come against apathy and I come against lukewarmness. I thank You for the fire of God burning in the bosom of every believer, Father God. I thank You that we are a church on fire, zealous, passionate for the things of God. Father, thank You that even Your Word will fan the flame of our hearts today. Father God, and by faith, nothing is going to hinder the going forth or the receiving of the Word of God today, but our minds are alert and our hearts are ready as good ground to receive the seed of God's Word today. We thank You for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise God. I'd like to begin, if you don't mind, by opening our Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 2. Acts, chapter 2. Now, I do have a few things on PowerPoint. Don't know if I'm going to get to them or not, but it's more important that we get through these notes so that you can understand some very, very important things. I believe that what I'm going to share with you this morning is extremely important. I believe it's something that God has put on my heart. It's in line with the series that we've been into for several weeks. This is part 13 of our series that is entitled Established in Present Truth. In fact, if you look up, as you're turning there to Acts chapter 2, look up on the big screen. This has been our main text that we've been looking at from 2 Peter chapter 1. It reads this way. Peter speaking by the Spirit of God, he said, "For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth." Present truth, in our definition, our working definition, is what God is saying today. It's what God is emphasizing today. Present truth is not new truth. It's not new revelation, but it's something that God is trying to get across to us at any particular moment, in any particular time. And these are things that I believe God is emphasizing to us as a church, as a congregation in this time. And I declare to you that as we get stronger and we get established in the present truths that God is bringing afresh to the forefront of our minds and to our heart, I believe the best days are yet ahead for us as individuals, and the best days are yet ahead for this church as a congregation. Amen. The best days are yet ahead. Now, as he goes on, yes, I think it is right, as long as I'm in this tent that's in his body, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent. He was about to die very soon. Just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. And so, we want to talk about established present truth. We want to talk about getting our lives restored, getting restored truth from the Word of God. There have been many things over the centuries that has been stolen from the church. There have been many truths in the Word of God that have been stolen from the church. As a whole, the American church is a wimpy, crippled, barely getting along church. They have substituted the gold for the brass, so to speak, and they are not being what God has called them to be, and that needs to change. There's an apathy in the Church of Jesus Christ in America. There is a lukewarmness that has to be repented of. There is a need for people to get stirred up with the Word of God again and set aside their troubles, set aside their worries, and begin to get their minds focused on God. And when they do that, the trials and the trouble and the afflictions are going to go by the wayside, and God is going to show up in a big way when our priorities are right and we're going after Him with all of our heart in Jesus' name. Amen. And so, you know what? We get so caught up with our things, with our lives, with our problems and our concerns. But let's get going with what His concerns are. Let's get focused on the things of God. And we'll find out that our problems, our little things, God is going to intervene and He'll see to it. He says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things are going to be added unto us." Isn't that right? Amen. And so it's our focus. Where is our focus today? What is your focus on today? Is your focus on the problem, the situation, which we all have to face at one time or another? Is your focus on this thing or that thing, or is your focus on God? When your focus is on anything but God and the Word of God and the things of God, when it's on anything other than Him, then you become apathetic and lukewarm and weary in well-doing. Are you hear what I'm saying? But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall rise up with wings like the eagles. They shall walk and not be weary. They shall run and shall not faint or give up. Isn't that right? And so the key is waiting on the Lord. The key is hoping in Him. The key is ministering unto Him and getting our focus on Him. And then our strength is renewed. And we run and we walk and we don't get weary. We're running the race that's set before us, right? Amen. And so I just want to encourage you today to allow God to refresh your heart. And that doesn't mean all the problems are gone, but what that means is our focus is back where it ought to be. Amen. Amen. And I didn't plan on any of that. I believe that was from the Spirit of God. And so take it as such, I pray. Now in Acts chapter 2, notice now, this is on the day of Pentecost, part of Peter's preaching his message on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And the people were all amazed at these things. In Acts chapter 2, notice now, beginning with verse 12. Now they're responding to the people having been filled with the Holy Spirit. The people on the outskirts, the people that witnessed the believers being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in other tongues or in a spiritual language, the people are responding. You'll notice in verse 12 of Acts chapter 2, so they were all amazed and perplexed and saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Others mocking said, they are full of new wine. How many of you know they did get full of new wine, but not the kind of wine they're talking about? The wine of the Holy Spirit. Verse 14, but Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And now we have a quote from Joel chapter 2, verses 38 through 32. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God. He says, this is a fulfillment of what Joel had prophesied. And that fulfillment began on this day of Pentecost, but I submit to you that that fulfillment is still progressing, and that fulfillment is still being fulfilled, and is supposed to be fulfilled throughout the entire church age. Amen. If we're still in the church age, that means we're still in the last days, and Joel said that this is going to happen in the last days. I am going to do this, and that includes our day. It wasn't a one-time event. It was a one-time and ongoing event. And what does Joel say by the Spirit of God? It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. All flesh, in our case, is referring to every believer, every covenant, man, woman, child. It doesn't matter. Everyone. This is something for all flesh, all believers. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And all flesh, all people that will accept Christ, God will pour out His Spirit upon them. Now, people say so often, and I'm way off my subject. I may have you turn in your notes, and we'll pass them out again next week. But you know what? I just think that, you know, people have this idea, well, you know, the worst is coming. The worst is coming. And you know, there's bad things on the horizon. You know, men will wax worse and worse. And you know, the Antichrist, all these things, persecution, all that. Well, I submit to you this, that for the world, it's going to get worse. But for the church, those that are truly seeking Him, it's going to get better. Because we are in the last, probably of the last day, the last of the last days. And He says that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. How many of you know that that's good news? How many of you know that that's a good word right there? Amen? That before the coming of the Lord, I submit to you that when Jesus comes again, He is not coming after a weak, beggarly, downtrodden church. He's coming after a church that has had His Spirit poured out upon it. Right? Thank you for that underwhelming response, but it's true anyway. Notice what He says. It shall come to pass in the last day, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I want to show you this, and we're going to stop reading from that passage right now to save time. But notice now, what does He state is the result of the outpouring of the Spirit? Spirit. He says the results are, in part anyway, they are going to prophesy. There is going to be a speaking forth of the mind and the counsel of God. In other words, one of the characteristics of the Holy Spirit being poured out on the people of God is that the people of God, the sons, the daughters, the men servants, the maid servants, every single person, all flesh, they're going to prophesy. They're going to dream dreams. They're going to see visions. It's a scriptural principle, isn't it? A scriptural principle. Now, go into our notes. Let's go quickly, if you don't mind, because I'm aware of the time. So just bear with me. You know I'm good about the time. Let's go to Roman numeral number 3. It says, scriptural benefits of assembling together. We're going to continue here. Letter A, the church assembled provides an environment for the gifts of the Spirit to be realized and developed. Number one, the vocal gifts of the Holy Spirit. 2 weeks ago, last week was Father's Day, so we didn't discuss it. We went and talked about fathers. But 2 weeks ago, we talked about two vocal gifts that work together, which is different kinds of tongues and the interpretation of tongues. Let's open our Bibles now, or turn in our Bibles, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Is everybody doing all right? Is everybody alive and well? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. I'm not going to wait for you. Verse 1 says, now concerning spiritual gifts or things that are of and pertaining to the Holy Spirit. Concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be ignorant of these things pertaining to spiritual gifts. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus a curse, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Verse 4, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation or the shining forth or the revealing of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given, and now it begins to delineate, 9 manifestations of the Spirit. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. I believe that was a word of knowledge earlier today where God said, aching heart. Someone's got an aching heart. A word from the Lord, a word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, notice, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Now, typically, we divide these into 3 categories, and we've been dealing with a category called the vocal gifts, or the 3 gifts that say something. 2 of them we talked about 2 weeks ago, tongues with interpretation of tongues. Today, we want to talk about prophecy. We want to talk about this principle, this gift, this manifestation of the Spirit called prophecy. You'll notice, if you'll turn with me, if you will, real quickly to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And the reason this is so important, there's many reasons, but one reason why this is so important is because you hear it all the time. We may experience prophecy here. If you watch Christian television, I know that you experience prophecy there on television. Sometimes it's true prophecy. Sometimes it's probably false prophecy. Sometimes it's real. Sometimes it's not real. But one of the things that we want to accomplish this morning is want to help you to understand and discern what might be real and what might not be real. Are you hearing me here today? Because there's been a lot of things done in the name of the Lord that has not been any more the Lord than the proverbial I'm the man in the moon. Isn't that right? And so we need to understand some things biblically, because everything we believe is based on the Word of God. It has to be. Not that we're perfect, but it has to be having some kind of substantiation from the Bible. This is our measuring rod. This is the way we measure things spoken. Right? And things done. Now, in Romans chapter 12, it says, and again, I want to do this quickly here, beginning with verse 3, for I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. Everybody say function. And so different members, different functions, right? It says in verse 5, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another, having then gifts differing, according to the grace that is given. Notice, the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, so prophecy is a gift given to some that have that function, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Now, all of us can operate in some of these things to one degree, but there's some that actually have a function in the body of Christ where they'll be using these things more often than others may be. We find out and did find out in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that everybody might be used in prophecy. But that doesn't mean that's their primary function in the body of Christ, right? Everybody's to be used in giving. But that doesn't mean that that's our function. There are some people that have a ministry of giving. Amen. A ministry of giving in liberality and what have you. And so understanding that these things are concepts found in the Word of God. Now, going back to our notes, let's define prophecy, biblically speaking. As you see here, the word prophecy and definitions of the word prophecy almost halfway down. It says this. Are you ready? You got to fill in these blanks. Lowercase a, to speak. This is prophecy definition. To speak by inspiration in the form of prediction or simple discourse. To speak by inspiration in the form of prediction or simple discourse. Now that means that not all prophecy is prediction. Many times we think of prophecy. We always think of the future. All prophecy biblically in the New Testament is not pertaining to the future. It is a discourse. Now notice, that'll go along with some other things that we say here. Letter B, discourse. Again, prophecy. Discourse emanating from divine inspiration and declaring the purposes of God. Letter C, the speaking forth of the mind and counsel of God. Again, it may have nothing to do with predicting the future. It's the speaking forth of the mind and counsel of God. The declaration of that which cannot be known by natural means. Letter D, the spontaneous, supernatural, vocal expression of inspiration in a known tongue or known language, which strengthens, encourages, and comforts the body of Christ. It is a direct message from God to a particular person or group of people. Is everybody hearing me here? All right, letter E, the Hebrew literally means to flow, to boil up or over, to bubble or pour forth words, to gush. And the Greek, literal meaning of the Greek word is to speak on behalf of another. And so when we're talking about this gift of prophecy, we're talking about the ability by divine inspiration to speak on behalf of God. Amen. To speak on behalf of God. It is the thoughts of God. It is the purpose, the counsel of God. Not necessarily having to do with the future, though it could. But it's the thoughts and principles and counsel of God being brought forth, speaking on His behalf. And there are certain things that should transpire when that happens. Now, let's go to number two, the three levels of prophecy that we see in the Word of God. Is everybody with me? The three levels of prophecy that we see in the Word of God. Letter A, the prophecy of Scripture. Everybody say Scripture. All right, it's 2 Peter 1:19 and 20. You can go there on your own. You've got homework to do this week. You can go to these scriptures. Some of them I might, but many of them I won't. You go to those scriptures. You read them. You ask God to open your eyes to them. But it says, basically, in 2 Peter 1:19 and 20, it says, the prophecy of Scripture is of no private interpretation, but it says, holy men of God were moved by the Holy Spirit. All right. And so holy men of God were moved by the Holy Spirit. And so they wrote down the Scripture, which is called there the prophecy of Scripture. And so the Word of God is the first level and the highest level of prophecy. Do you believe that the Bible is speaking on behalf of God? I believe it is. And so it is the prophecy of Scripture. Some of it's predictive. Not all of it is. But it's all speaking on behalf of God. You hear what I'm saying? All right, and so you'll notice these scriptures, it says it is God-breathed. It's the only type that is inerrant and infallible. In other words, there's no mistakes. Now, there's not a perfect translation. There's some translations more perfect than others. But in the original text, and really, there is so little mistakes in the King James, New King James. It doesn't affect the doctrine at all. It's minute things. It's 99.5% accurate from the original manuscripts, all right? And so we can trust it. That's a statistical fact. All right. Now notice as it goes on in this lowercase Roman numeral 3, this type is no longer being given today. And so nobody's going to be given scripture. And so nothing said today, nothing spoken on behalf of God today carries with it the authority or the weight, if you will, of the scriptures, the word of God, right? Nothing does. And all the other levels, the two other levels of prophecy that we're going to look at real briefly, are judged by, and it says in your note there under that, the other two levels of prophecy must be measured and judged by this level, that prophecy of Scripture. This is the highest level. That's why we got to have the book, and we got to discern whatever is said with the Scriptures, the book, the Bible. Amen? Now, another level is the ministry of the prophet. The ministry of the prophet is another level of this area of prophecy. Now, some people have this mistaken idea that a prophet, all he does is go around prophesying. That is not correct. A prophet would be a ministry gift. Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers that are given in order so that the church might be equipped and edified and fulfill their ministry to the body of Christ. And so there are prophets of God that are like teachers of the word. They will be teachers. Prophets need to be teachers of the word of God. And sometimes they may prophesy. Sometimes people have the idea, well, if they're a true prophet of God, then they know everything about everybody all the time. That is not the case. That's false. And you know, I would say this, be real wary of anybody who goes around saying, I'm a prophet of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You know, it's not found, any gift is not found in title. It's found in gifting. It's found in grace. It's found in power. It's found and demonstrated by what they do, not by what they say they are or any title that they might have. I'll tell you, I could mention names real easily here. But I remember people using titles and say, well, I'm prophet so-and-so. And my answer sometimes is, well, I don't think they're a prophet so-and-so. I think they're a not-for-profit so-and-so. All right? Because they're a not prophet. They're a non-prophet prophet. You understand what I'm saying? All right? And so we need to be real careful about that because people get caught up with pride. Remember, it said in the beginning of Romans 12, it said that we read in verse 3, it says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Because anything you and I are is all because of the grace of Almighty God. That's why he's talking about in Romans 12 about the grace of God, the gift of grace. And we all function in our various functions because of his grace, not because we've achieved or become anything. Right? Amen. And so we need to be very wary of people get all puffed up with pride. Pride is the beginning of deception. Pride is the beginning of deception. All right, so we have the ministry of the prophet. It says under that, prophets prophesy, but not all that prophesy are prophets. And that's a fact, because then we come to the next one, the simple gift of prophecy. Bottom of your page 1, the simple gift of prophecy. So we have the three levels of prophecy, the prophecy of the scripture, the word of God. We have the ministry of the prophet. And then we have the simple gift of prophecy. Now, it's amazing to me. And I want you to be real careful in the days that we live, because the Bible says in the last days, false prophets shall arise. And many times, they are people, and I'm not going to name names because I can't judge people's hearts, but you need to be careful that, you know, a lot of the hysteria, a lot of the national names and whatever, you know, don't just go in because somebody else go in. I have seen people, men, women of God, of renown, be duped by people, and they become, you know, the face cover, the Hollywood Christianity. We need to be careful about that. Don't get caught. See, what happens is the world's means begins to get accepted into the church. And so now we have the celebrity prophets, the celebrity preachers. We need to be real careful. And they're, you know, just because they're well known doesn't mean they're celebrity in the context I'm talking about. I'm talking about those that think they're celebrities as well. You hear what I'm saying to you? And so we need to be careful of that. We need to not fall into that trap. Now, go into page 2, the top of the page. Anyone can be used in prophecy as the Spirit wills in the simple gift of prophecy. It is given until perfection comes. And again, we're not going to turn there, but in 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 13, it says that tongues is going to cease, prophecy is going to pass away. It says knowledge will cease, and now we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come. And you know, the people that believe those things have already ceased think that that which is perfect has come is the Bible, and now we don't need prophecy or tongues or anything else. But that is one of the worst biblical interpretations you can ever come to. Nowhere in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians is it talking about the completion of the Bible. That which is perfect that is coming is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so tongues, knowledge in part, and prophesying is going to be here until Jesus, the perfect one, comes again. You cannot use that scripture if you're going to interpret the Bible right and not twist it in order to meet your bias, right? All right. Now, going on with this. Notice now. Roman numeral number 3, top of the page, lowercase Roman numeral number 3. Prophecy is always given in part. Everybody say in part. That's based on 1 Corinthians 13:8. It's never the full picture. It's never everything about you or anything else. It's always given in part. And number 4, prophecy is conditional. Everybody say conditional. Prophecy is conditional. In fact, the promises of God in the Bible are conditional, aren't they? All right? So prophecy is conditional. And many people have just gotten so messed up with prophecy. You know, it could be tempting to despise prophesy because people have messed other people up so many times. But the Bible commands us not to despise prophesy. Now, I'm going to go through these things, and we're going to finish this sheet because I've got 3 minutes, all right? And so let's look at these things, all right? And if we have to, we'll elaborate next week. We'll see what God wants to do. But there are warnings about those that prophesy falsely. We need to take this more seriously than I think we take sometimes, all right? But the Bible says, number 3, Scripture commands that we judge prophecy. I'm going to give you principles for judging prophecy this morning. All right? You know, I can tell you so many stories. Pam and I have been prophesied to. And it was just weird, man. I'll tell you, we went to this meeting, and this was a renowned guy. A guy that people had heard of. And he didn't prophesy anything bad, but he prophesied things that I didn't even know what he was talking about. You ever get prophesied to, you don't even know what somebody's talking about? And so, you know, we take it, and I got the tape. I wrote it all out. I'm thinking about it. I'm praying about it. And finally, I just crumpled up a piece of paper and said, that guy was off the wall, and I believe he was, and maybe still is. But, you know, just because somebody prophesies to you, don't accept it. I don't care what their name is or who you know or who they know or anything else. You need to judge prophecy. I know of one fellow who is a minister. He was a minister with his father. And some prophet came to their church and prophesied that he was to be in the engineering field and that he was going to be used greatly in technological advances and whatever. And it just threw the whole guy off. And so he thought, well, then I need to go back to college. So he goes back to college, gets out of the ministry, go back to college. Anyway, to make a long story short, he was burdened. And I want you to know that you can end up getting damaged in life by wrong prophesying, by wrong prophecies. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I've known of people that have married somebody because somebody prophesied that the two of you ought to get married. I'll tell you, you need to watch out for that kind of thing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. Amen. Don't let somebody come up to you and say, God told me, thus saith the Lord, you're to marry me. You can say, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Get behind me, Satan, in Jesus' name. You understand what I'm trying to say? Amen. And so just be wary of those things that happen in Portugal so often. People being prophesied to that they were supposed to get married and then their lives become damaged in a wreck and all these various things. All right, now, let's go to this 9 scriptural ways to judge prophecy. Are you ready? We're going to go through them quick. Is everybody ready? You got your spiritual seatbelts on, right? All right, here they are. First one, first scriptural way, all prophecy must agree with the Bible. All prophecy must agree with the Bible. The Word and the Spirit agree, 1 John 5:7. All prophecy must agree with the Bible. Number 2, all prophecy must glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you need to get that down now. All prophecy must glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Not glorify the prophesier. Not glorify the one prophesied to, but ultimately He is the one that gets the glory. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so be real careful about these prophecies that say something like this. Oh, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt be a great man of God. Thou shalt change the world. Thou shalt go there and hear it. That is all a bunch of garbage, exalting a man instead of exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you hearing me here? You shall be the next Billy Graham. You shall forget about all that mess. Exalting a person, lifting up a person. And see, a lot of people, they get prophesied to and pride comes into their heart. And so that itself will cause damage to that person's life. Is everybody all right here today? And so, you know, it ought to just be wary of these things. Now, I'm not saying we should never. Now, the Bible says don't despise prophesying, but we do need to know how to judge. The Bible tells us to judge. In fact, that same scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5:20 and 21, it says, despise not prophesying, but instead test all things. Prove all things. So don't despise it, just test it. Thank God for the Word of God that will help us test it. Amen? So all prophecy must glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, because that scripture, John 16, says that that the Holy Spirit will glorify Him. If prophecy is by the Spirit, it's going to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the screen, if you don't mind, and this will be slide number 5. Slide number 5 says this. It says, and I fell at His feet to worship Him, but He said to me, see that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who had the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the Spirit a prophecy. And this goes back to that concept. It's going to testify of Jesus. It's going to tell of His goodness in your life. It's going to exalt Him and not a human being. All right, next one, number 3. A prophet is also judged by his or her fruit. And so we know that Jesus said false prophets are going to come, and He says, judge them by their fruit. What is the fruit of the Bible? The fruit of the Bible is love. If there's a so-called prophet and they don't have that walk of love, you need to question. You need to be wondering about that. Part of that love is a sense of a spirit of humility, right? And not a spirit of pride. And you know what? You have an unction from the Holy One. 1 John 2 tells us that we all have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. And you can discern. If you will listen on the inside, you can discern. I'll tell you, there's been times when I would have read a book or when I have heard something spoken and I can't even put my finger on what's wrong. I read something, I say, that doesn't sound, something's wrong with it. I don't even know what. Or I hear something, something's wrong. And I don't know what. I can't explain it with my mind. But down in here, in my spirit man, I have an unction from the Holy One that shows and reveals things, even though I may not be able to articulate what it is. And you do too if you have the Holy Spirit. Amen? And we need to be sensitive to that, all right? We need to be sensitive to that. So judging by the fruit. Now notice what it says, that other area. Spirituality is judged by discerning fruit, not gifts. Do not mistake charisma for character. Did you know people with charisma, natural charisma, I'm talking about the Bible kind of charisma, I'm talking about this natural kind of charisma. In fact, I stated here the word charisma here is referring to the English meaning, not biblical meaning. The dictionary defines charisma as a quality attributed to those with exceptional ability to secure the devotion of large numbers of people. Sounds like dictators to me. It sounds like, you know, how many, this natural kind of charisma is dangerous. It's all based on personality. It's all based on, oh, they're so friendly. They're so nice. They're so smart. They're, you know, I think of Barack Obama. No, I didn't say that. But anyway, you know, all this stuff. You understand what I'm saying? Got so much charisma. Maybe no qualifications, maybe no talent, but so much charisma can be very dangerous. You judge by character, not by charisma, right? Judge by character. All right, number 4, Roman numeral number 4. We must ask if the person who prophesies any future predictions has a proven track record. Does the prediction come to pass? I can't tell you, you know, there is a website, I can't remember it right now, but there's a website that actually gauges some of these guys that prophesy future things, and you would be amazed at the amount of them that prophesy, and it never happens. Never happens. I know of a fellow who prophesied to another pastor in a local area. This many years ago. And he prophesied, because his wife was pregnant, that you're going to have a son. You're going to have a son. Well, you know, he's got a 50-50 chance of being right. And he was still wrong. Still wrong. Hallelujah. Don't look at me like that. You're looking mean at me. All right. Roman numeral number 5. Fulfillment of a prediction. Now, notice now. Fulfillment of a prediction is not the only determining factor. So-called prophecies can come to pass and still not be of God. And so whether or not it comes to pass, coming to pass is important. But even if it does come to pass, if it doesn't meet the other criteria, it still is wrong. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? Do you know people into psychic type of thing, they can get it right every once in a while. They may even get it right often. Because they've got a demonic familiar spirit in some cases, and so they may get it right at times. But that doesn't mean they're right. Right? All right. And so even if it does come to pass, that's not the only criteria. Number 6, Roman numeral number 6. Does the prophecy edify, exhort, and comfort? Because the scripture says it should. that prophesying is going to bring edification. It's going to bring encouragement, exhortation. It's going to bring comfort. That doesn't mean there won't be times of correction. There might be times of rebuke, but within it all, it's going to edify, exhort, and bring comfort to those that hear, right? Amen. Are you getting anything out of this? Yes. It's all just biblical ways, 9 ways to judge prophecy. The Bible says where to judge it. And we're not judging the person. And we're not judging the Holy Ghost. We're judging the message. You understand? We're judging the words, the message that's being brought forward. Not the person, but we're judging the message. And everybody can miss it once in a while, too. So don't get all petty on some things, all right? But just recognize some of these things, all right? And so does the prophecy edify, exhort, and comfort? Number 7, Roman numeral number 7. Are you doing all right? We're going through this fast. We're breaking a record. We're already past time, but we're breaking a record. Does the prophecy produce liberty or bondage? Does it produce liberty or bondage? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:17, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, right? And so the Spirit of God is going to bring liberty, not bondage. Now, I don't mean that it's going to bring liberty to sin. What I'm saying is it's not going to put you in a legalistic bondage. If a prophecy comes forth that's from the Spirit of God, it will never put you in such a bondage. Like, for example, if someone prophesied to you that you are going to be a missionary in the most remote areas of Africa, and thus, and all these things, and you've never had an inkling toward that whatsoever, you've never had a feeling that that was something God would have you do, that can become a bondage to you. Isn't that right? And a burden to you that was never intended by God. Yeah. Right? Yeah. I mean, it can happen in so many different areas. So it does it bring liberty or does it bring bondage is a question that we need to ask. Does it bring legalism? Does it bring some kind of a burden that is not a burden from God that causes you to be depressed, discouraged, whatever, causes you to give up? If it causes you to stop running the race instead of encourages you to keep running the race, if it causes you to have no fire instead of fire burning in your passion and that kind of thing. You hear what I'm saying? If you're on fire for God and somebody prophesies to you something and that fire is quenched, you got to question whether that prophecy was of God or not, don't you? Amen. Bring liberty or bondage? Does it bring liberty or bondage? And there's some good scriptures pertaining to that that you can read, especially 2 Corinthians 11:1-20. All right, Roman numeral number 8. Does the prophecy bear witness or confirm what the Holy Spirit is telling you? It needs to bear witness or confirm. And I have heard teaching lately that says, well, if we really believe prophecy is a word from the Lord, then we shouldn't even be concerned about whether it confirms or bears witness. I beg to differ with that. That's a lie. Don't you believe it for 1 minute. I guarantee you that's one of those so-called prophets that came out with that, say, well, I don't care if it confirms something in your heart or not or bears witness. You take it because it's the word of the Lord. I guarantee you that originated with some so-called prophet that wants people to believe everything that he tells them. It better bear witness. It better be a confirmation. And I'm sticking with that, and I'm sticking with this idea. Don't ever seek direction from anybody who believes they're a prophet. And even if they are a prophet, you don't get direction from a prophet. You get confirmation sometimes of something you feel the Lord's leading you to do. But the Bible says this, says as many as are the sons of God, they are led by the Spirit of God, right? And so under this new covenant, we aren't led by prophets. We're not led by prophecy. We're led by the Holy Spirit, and maybe a prophecy through whomever may just encourage us and confirm and just bear witness in our spirit to do that very thing that we've been wondering about. Does that make sense to you? Amen. All right? And so just hold on to that. Hold on to that no matter what. All right? Now, finally, everybody said hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anything said, I've already said it, but we got to fill in the blank. Anything said, spoken, prophesied must be said with an attitude of humility. Not pride. Watch out for pride. Pride, as I said, and there's scripture backing it up, not going to give them to you now, but pride is the beginning of deception. When one is caught up with pride, I don't care if they're a prophet, an evangelist, a member of the body of Christ, if we get caught up in pride, that is the beginning of deception every time. Because we're deceived about ourselves when we're caught up with pride, aren't we? All right, so judge and prophecy. It's got to agree with the Word of God. It's got to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. A prophet is judged by the fruit of love. it must be seen whether or not they have a proven track record, whether it comes to pass. And even if it does come to pass, that's not the only criteria as to whether or not it is of God. It must edify, exhort, and bring comfort ultimately. It does not produce liberty, it does produce liberty and not bondage. But we ask ourselves which. And it does have to bear witness or confirm, and it needs to come across in a spirit of humility, which really goes along with that idea of love. Amen? Amen. And so the reason I gave you notes today is because I want you to take those, hold on to those, study those scriptures, and get them on the inside of you, because I don't want anybody deceived. And watch out for these television guys that say, well, if you send me an offering of such and such and such and such, I will send you a personal prophecy just from God to you. Watch out. You should not have to pay for a prophecy. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You shouldn't have to pay for anything that is a gift from God. You don't pay for gifts. Isn't that right? You don't pay in order to get... I'm going to get out. Worship team, you better come. But you know what? You don't pay for this special vial of anointing oil. You don't pay for that. You don't send an offering in order to get this special vial of anointing oil so that you might pour it over your head and get healed. Are you understand what I'm saying? You don't merchandise the anointing. You don't get into all that kind of thing. That's nonsense. And it brings reproach upon the real, doesn't it? So we need to watch out for those kinds of things. Would you stand with me, please? Hallelujah. I pray you receive something from that today. Let's just worship God and see what else He may want us to do today. I'm sorry I went over a little bit. But it doesn't happen very often. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's just worship God. Whatever's on your heart.
Am captured by your majesty.
Let's sing it.
All of my days I will sing of your greatness. All of my days I will speak of your grace. All of my days I will tell of your wondrous love. Your love in my life. Your love in my as I will speak of your greatness. All of my days I will speak of your grace. All of my days I will tell of your wondrous love. Your love in my life. Your love in my life. Your love in my life.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's just stay in an attitude of worship. If you're here today and you'd say, Pastor, I don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm not sure if I were to breathe my last breath, as we heard recently of Michael Jackson, Farrah, and the other gentleman there that escapes my mind right now. But as we've heard of them, Father, you might say right now that I'm not sure that if I were to die, that I would be in the presence of God. I'm not sure that I would go to heaven, and I'm not sure that I would avoid hell. If you're here and that describes you, you want to be sure. The Bible says you can know that you have eternal life. It's by placing faith in Christ, by placing faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and giving your life to Him, making Him Lord of your life today. And so if that describes your situation, we never want to end a service without giving this opportunity for people to make Jesus Christ the Lord of their life. And so if you'd lift your hand up real high, I want to pray with you and help you to know Him in a personal way. You've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Just lift your hand up high and let's pray together. Anybody at all? Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, God is good. Amen? Amen. Well, we've prayed for people. If you do need prayer, though, let me see. Can the Norrises pray for people today after service? All right. They'll be up here if you'd like prayer before you go. We encourage that. Just know that we love you and appreciate you. And keep on keeping on. I know it's summertime, and I know people are going through a whole bunch of stuff and having a lot of things going on, graduations and such, especially this weekend. But just know that you have an adversary who never goes on vacation. and you need to be built up and strengthened in the things of God. Amen? Amen. We love you and appreciate you. And Brother Tom, would you close us in prayer? Stay for fellowship if you can. Remember, the cut-a-thon is today at Tracy Kane's Beauty Salon. I think there's details on the bulletin board to raise funds for the young people that are going to the Wild Jam internship in New York City. And there's also going to be a car wash today where the young people are going to be washing cars and just raising support so that they can be a part of what Wild Jam's doing in New York City and then coming up here as well and helping out to win the lost. There's no better investment than that. Amen? Amen. God bless you. We love you now. Amen.
Our Father and our God, we thank you and praise you that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. We go about our week and whatever we're going to do this week, we know that we have the victory in Jesus Christ. Amen.